Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
First one, let us sing, Stand Up My Soul and Shake Off, the 478.
Let's have prayer. Our Father, we are grateful that you have invited us to pray, and we understand from this hymn that you love to answer prayer. And tonight we need prayer, and we need to have answer. And so tonight we ask your blessing upon us. We're grateful for your working in lives, and our Father, we're appreciative of seeing Brother Tom Van Sant with us. And so I ask, Father, right now that you would continue to look upon him and help him, and also Judy. Our Father, we're grateful that as we pray that your Spirit be amongst us and in us and with us. We pray for this subject tonight. It is your very word. It's your very breath. And so as we attempt to study together tonight, we pray that you'd be pleased to speak to our hearts, and that our Lord Jesus might receive the honor. In his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Well, you'll turn with me, won't you, to Ephesians chapter 6, where we've been for a while. I want to look at verses 18 and 19, or what we haven't sung previous or studied previously. There's some more in this passage I'd like us to consider. I think it goes right very close with the armor. Some would have it maybe a little add on. I don't think so. I think it's right under it. You got the armor of God, but you need to have this armor so that it's operative, and prayer is the answer. It seems that if you understand this passage in Ephesians 6, that there is teaching us here that there's a spiritual battle going on. And it seems like it's an everyday event, at least by temptations that enter. And the scripture's shown us that in this spiritual battle, we can have victory. And so we want to learn all about that, as far as I'm concerned. We have the whole armor of God. And we have this matter of the demons in verse 12. Verse 11 is, I think, very clearly presents the situation in Ephesians 6 here about putting on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the schemes of the wiles of the devil. And believe me, brethren, he's got a lot of schemes, and he's been around a while, and he is desirous of destroying and getting rid of us. And so we need to be wise as to those things. But verse 12, he reminds us, now listen, it's not the matter of we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. And I think basically that has to do with demonology, the demons, the fallen angels. And I think they're very real. But we also want to be encouraged because there are also holy angels in our midst. We can emphasize the fallen angels, the demons, but we would like to also think upon the holy angels even as they're present with us. I guess I would almost be of the opinion that in every service that the enemy has a desire to do something to mess up something that is in the service. I'm of that kind of feeling. But I also, on the same hand, I also believe that there are holy angels present, and their power, there's the war going on, and so here we are, we're in the midst of it. Sometimes I like to cheat on matters. I like to read the end of the book first. And you say, you don't do that when reading books. Well, I guess you're not supposed to, but I'd like you to turn to Revelation 20 to give you a little encouragement as we get into this matter of prayer, that it empowers Christian warriors. In the 20th chapter of Revelation, I want to encourage you, have you see how things are at the end. If you notice verse 10, how about the old devil? Well, I'll tell you what the Bible says about him. In Revelation 20 and verse 10, and the devil that deceived them, what about him, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. How about that? Amen? And why have her mouth dragging on the floor? And now look at verse 14 of this same chapter, where it speaks a little further, I believe. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whoso was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now that is not too comforting for those who are just equivocating about the need of knowing Christ as their Savior. Along with a devil, they will be cast into death in the lake of fire and into the second death. But I just want to encourage you to say to yourself, so we have a battle. So the devil's working this over. So his cohorts, so the demons, the fallen angels. But we know his final destruction. And the kingdom of evil also being destroyed in that passage. And so how are we going to wage this war? Well, Ephesians 6 says we're to wage it by prayer. Well, that's great. I need to know more about it then. And we studied a little bit in verse 18 about prayer, didn't we already? It says we're to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. We looked at that a little bit. And for all situations, for all occasions, all kinds of prayers. There are all kinds of prayers. I mentioned to you the prayers last time, and I think it's good. Use all kinds of prayer to be empowered in this battle, which is spiritual, for the spiritual warriors. There is a matter of public prayer. There's a matter of private prayer. There's a matter of thanksgiving prayer. There is the matter of confessing prayer. There's the matter of silent prayer. There's long prayers. There's short prayers. And there is intercession prayer. There's resisting the enemy prayer. And there's prayer for health. There's all kinds of prayer that says in verse 18. You know about it. Well, it's one thing to know, but do you use it? And the scripture says we're to pray always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And so here we are, all kinds of prayer, all kinds of situation. And it praying always has the idea there in verse 18, when morning, noon, and night, and in between, to be in a place where you'll be able to breathe out prayer. You know, friends, this has to get to us if we're going to be victorious. I just know it has to get to us. So let's look at these two verses, verses 18 and 19 further for tonight. Having already looked at the first part of verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit by the power of the Spirit of God. Now then, it says further, command that we're to be watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. And then this personal request of the Apostle Paul, he said, for me, that utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And that's not self-centered, that's Christ-centered request. And I think that's beautiful too. He's in a place where I think if I were in prison, I'd say, God, get me out of here. Especially if it was down under the city of Rome. Probably where a lot of other stuff was down there, and rats and so forth. He isn't asking you that he pray to get him out of that prison there in Rome. And if I were there, I'd probably say, you know, it's mighty uncomfortable down here. It's kind of cold, you know. It'd be nice if I could get some warmth. He doesn't even mention that in that verse 19, does he? And there's also the matter there of he was ill as far as we know. We know he had an ailment. And say, Lord, won't you heal me? He says, that's not his request. His request is, I want you to pray that I may have utterance to me so that I may open my mouth boldly and make known evangelistic the mystery of God. Man, that's the way to pray. All right, let's look at this matter of the last part of verse 18, especially where it talks about watching. Thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Watching. that has the idea of alert, being alert. Our Lord Jesus said to his disciples, he said, watch and pray. Well, we all just turn to that. Matthew 6:26-41. He said, I want you to watch and pray. Well, how'd you do, boys? Well, like a lot of us. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. They fell asleep. And so this matter of watching, the Lord Jesus there in Matthew 26:41. Watching. He said, what? Watch and pray. Now, in Ephesians 6, verse 18, it says about watching. Here it is. Example of our Lord, he said to disciples, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Matthew 26, verse 41. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh or the body is weak. You know, let's be real about it. You ever been on your knees, fall asleep? You ever be in a matter of prayer and you have to fight all kinds of distraction? This comes in, you got to be there, you got to do here, this is neglected, this has to be done, let's get at it. Say, hey, I can't pray with all those things going through my mind. He said, I tell you what, you watch. And when you pray, I want to tell you something, that you don't fall into temptation there. And because the spirit is willing, but the flesh, the body is weak. And as you get older, you'll sense it even more. And so this first part of the 18th verse here, or the second part, I should say, has to do with watching. Satan is waiting to attack. He really is. And so we need to be alert. We need to be watching as to his tactics, his schemes. And if we're not careful, our lives can be one of sleepiness. Yeah. And we need the infusion of divine power. Because the spirit's willing, but our flesh is weak. We need to be empowered. How am I going to do that? Well, this last part of verse 18 and 19 is telling me it's by prayer, so I better just take God's word at it and let it go. We need to guard our prayer life, and we need to be wise about what's going on around. You know, I don't understand some Christians. They say, I don't listen to the news. I don't want to pay attention to that. It's just horrible stuff. Well, I don't like a lot of it either. But as Spurgeon said, he read the newspaper to see what his father was doing in the world. Ignorance is not bliss. You want to serve the Lord Jesus? What's going on in the community? What's going on as far as nationally? What's going on internationally? It doesn't hurt to know some of those things so you can pray and you can be intelligent about matters. Watch, it says here in verse 18. Therefore, thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The second part is the matter of the word perseverance there, or as it really means, all perseverance. What does it mean to be empowered that we might persevere? Well, the word perseverance means to keep at it. Well, how am I supposed to do this? It says watch, be awake as to what's going on, and now perseverance, to keep at it. You mean continuing? Yeah. It's easy. It's just to kind of give up. Sometimes you have to wait till the sun rises, proverbially speaking. And you say, well, it has the idea of perseverance, of earnestness, to be earnest about it. Don't say just, now I lay me down to sleep, or I have a little prayer that you have. No, he doesn't want your prayer, your list, the do list. He wants your heart. He said, I want you to be earnest about it. You want to have victory, you got to be earnest about it. Just not formally, educationally, academically. He said, I want you to be earnest. To persevere, that word even gives to me the idea of effort. And it's going to take some labor involved in it. The Bible says we're to ask, okay? We're to seek, and we're to knock, and you'll find. Well, it sounds to me like that's a little effort. To ask and to seek and to knock, you will find. So just sit back and say, I want to be victorious in this battle. The devil is throwing all kinds of things at me in his wiles or his schemes. And how can I have an empowerment of how can I get this armor of God operative? I need something to get it going, to motivate it. He said, this is what it is. It's prayer. Beautiful. Sometimes we're so used to driving up to Wendy's and asking for a hamburger and hand it to you and get going. Some people have the idea about prayer. Well, I prayed about it. You did? Yep, I prayed about it. How'd it turn out? Didn't turn out. Did you keep at it? No, I felt that I can just tell God once and that's all I need to do. No, the scripture talks about importunity. It has the idea of going like the lady, she widow, she just bothered the judge to no end. She just kept saying, judge, judge. And he said, to get rid of her. Lord, why would you use an illustration like that? He wants to show us that we need not give up the first time around and keep praying. Look at old Elijah. There he is on the mountain. And he predicted that the Lord was going to send the rain after all those years, all those time of drought. And he's there praying. He says to his servant, would you go look, please? And he goes on, nope, boss, nothing here. Check it again. Nope, boss, nothing here. And finally he says, oh, it's the size of a cloud, about the size of the fist of your hand. That's perseverance. That is to keep at it. I still believe that when God sees that we really are genuine about it, then he maybe said, okay, I'll give him a little help. I'll bless him. It's like when I see boys going down the road fishing with a fishing rod. I tell my wife this. See those boys? They got a fishing rod, sure do. Where are they going to bring home the fish in? All they have is a fishing rod. Or maybe a can of worms. When you go fishing, prepare to bring the fish home. When you go deer hunting, prepare to have it, clean it out, field dress it, and arrange it so you can put it in the transportation and take it to the butcher shop or whatever. You prepare. When you come to church, you prepare. See, well, a preacher better give a good message because I'm not ready. You need to prepare as well as the preacher needs to be prayed. You need to be in prayer for the preacher, as verse 20 puts it. It's business of prayer. I got to talk to myself. I am talking to myself tonight. I'm hoping you're listening. Because I'm a man too. And I'm not excusing myself either. And so if you want to stand, say, I'd like to stand. This whole passage in Ephesians here 6 talks about stand and stand and stand. And I want to stand. But you need to pray and you need to continue to pray and to be empowered. What else you got here? Well, there is this matter of the saints. Look at that in verse 18, the last words. You're going to pray, okay, you're going to pray, be alert, verse 18, watch, is what the word is. We got to persevere to continue if we're going to talk about prayer. And now here we have, it says, and we need to have supplication for all the saints. For the saints, yeah, God's people, brothers and sisters in Christ. I know about you. I do believe this. When one's down, it ought to affect all of us. Yes, sir. When somebody's hurting, it ought to affect every one of us. We're a family. And this verse says, pray for all the saints, all the brothers and sisters in the Lord. We need to watch out for one another. I sometimes think we ought to be a little more spiritually nosy. We can ask a lot of questions. What do you do for a living? What are you doing this time of the year? What do you think about the weather? How's your job going? I think we ought to be a little more spiritually nosy about some things. How's it going with you, brother? Sister? I can see it in your eyes. Something's not right. I'm surprised. People who work around people all the time, they can just by looking at the eyes and can say, something's not right about that person. We show it. And this idea of praying for all the saints, they're either winning or losing too. And it needs to have prayer. You know, do you have one of these card files at home? I was going to bring ours. Got a big old thing of a doodle thing. But, you know, it's good. And there are times when I just will take that thing and I'll just go through those card files. Up comes your name. Yeah. You know, it's pretty good. You say, well, I'm a busy man. I can't be praying about talking to the Lord about every one of these people. I think it's a good habit to get into. A fellow told me, he said, I pray for you every day. Isn't that nice that some people pray? Look at verse 18. See whether you think it makes any sense. What am I supposed to do about the saints? Well, it says here that I am to make supplication for them. That word supplication has the idea of earnestness. Not just praying. I mean really praying. God, this person needs help. This person needs to be saved. And really going through it, you know, it's easy to pray, Lord, help me, 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 me. I need help, Lord. And then I'm looking so badly, I need this, Lord, and I need this. And we'd talk about, I want the Lord to watch over my reputation, me, me, me. Is most of your prayer about me, me, me? Sure, you can pray for yourself. But here it's saying you should pray in supplication for all the saints, not just me, yourself. I mean, self-centeredness, after a while, gets kind of tiring and boring, doesn't it? To always be asking about me in our prayers. There are young folk that need to be prayed for. I don't know, it may be old age, but I think that I don't think as far as history, as far as I'm concerned, I don't think young folk have I think they have a harder time now than any other time in history. I'm not minimizing the sins of the past, but I tell you, with all the technology and what's going on, and how I think it's harder to be a young person now than ever. You show me I'm wrong. I'll listen to you. You say it was tough in my day. I know it was tough. But just think what they have to go through today. All the distractions. You ought to be praying for the young folk. When you see a young person, your heart ought to go out to it. Or out to him. Or out to her. Say, Lord, I ask your help for that individual. We ought to be in praying for them. When you see a middle-aged person, you say, well, here, old guy, how's it going with you? You got it all made? Hey, don't get the idea that every middle-class, middle-aged person has it all made. They need to be prayed for. And then the elderly. Well, we're something else, aren't we? My health. My health. My health. My retirement. My. Hey, listen, pray for the old folk. It's soon going to be curtains for them as far as this life. And that they might be prepared to meet the Lord. And they'd be empowered in their old age. What are we going to be just sitting around on a rocking chair and smell? Is that what you think old age is supposed to be like? Pray for the aged. That they serve the Lord. And that they please the Lord. Who said it's time to quit? Talking about the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 20. Paul's not a young man there. What are you talking about? We're talking about as Christian warriors that we need to be empowered, and we're empowered by prayer. That's the whole idea tonight in this closing verse of the two verses. Ah, yes. Well, but we also find here that it is a family thing. Do we pray, Our Father, which art in heaven? Or do we say, My Father, which art in heaven? No, we pray the Lord's Prayer, Our Father. There's a togetherness. I say this. I was, dumb. I was cutting something, and bam, I cut my finger. Man, that started to bleed and so forth. But one part of the body hurts. It seemed like the rest of the body seems to be affected also. It's true. And the same with verse 18, the last part. When one person is affected, it should affect the whole body. I think that it affects the temperature of a church. If you're not praying, you're not spiritual, I think it affects the temperature of the church, the spirituality of the church. I think if you're obeying the Word of God, asking the Lord to working the life and in the church, and you have the answer of verse 19, and you're bold for the Lord, and you speak frankly, and God's blessing you, it affects the rest of the church. You're powerful as a Christian. Just remember, your spiritual life affects me too, and my spiritual life affects you. We're into this together. But I like verse 19. He said, now I want you to pray for me. Oh, okay. What shall we pray for you about, Paul? That you be released from prison, and like I said, your illness will be taken care of, that you get good health, and that you get some comfort where you are? No. He didn't pray that. He says, I ask you to pray for me, that I may be have an utterance, be given unto me, an utterance. And that is to be able to speak the right words, that I may open my mouth boldly. You don't know what it is to be timid, do you? See, I know I should have spoken for the Lord, but I just didn't do it because, well, you know how it is. That person die and go to hell. When you look at people and all you see is the eternal destiny in that person's life, that's a starting place to really know what it is to pray. You look at people and see how they are biblically speaking. Here it is. He says, it's a God-centered request. Most of us seem to be self-centered about things. This is a God-centered request. You prove it. Well, he said, I like to have an utterance to be given. I may have the right words to say, and that I may open my mouth boldly, and that I might make known the mystery of the gospel. Well, Paul, you already know that, don't you? And he said, listen, for evangelistic sake, I desire very much prayer. Would you pray for me? You're to pray for all saints and the brothers and sisters in Christ, but it was pray for those in leadership, and I'd like to get into that a little more. But we know this, that he wants to be able to, he wants to be able to so operate that he's not influenced. Paul was a man too. Did you know that? And as a man, you can be put into a situation where you almost say, "Hey, I can't operate like that. People won't accept it." So I have to be very careful that I please the people I'm speaking to, so I don't offend them. I don't want to offend them. What are you? You're a people pleaser. He said, I ask you to pray that I not be that way. In some situations, we got to keep our mouth shut because if we say much, it'll affect our income. No. That's the way we operate. He said, I want you to pray for me that I not be a people pleaser, that I might have the right words, and that I might what? What else? That I might be able to do it boldly, frankly, candidly, not worry about what's going to happen if I speak about these truths. And then not only that, it says there, that I might make known the mysteries of the mystery of the gospel, the precious gospel of the Lord Jesus. You know, the Bible speaks about being a fool for Christ. Well, I just don't understand. There seemed like to be a lot of confusion. Yesterday, an athlete was given the Athletic Award of the Year, 2009. Who got it? Any of you know? Who got the Athletic Award of the Year? Tiger Woods. Hello? Aren't we a little confused that he's a role model? Now, I'm not going to speak against him personally, but I just want to say to you, we're a little confused in light of how horrible the situation is to still maintain he's the athlete of the year. We're a confused people. Young people will say that, well, I guess I can do anything I want to and still be a big shot. I tell you, verse 19 is certainly a passage that the world's confused, and Lord, I want to be able to say the right thing and that I want to have boldness and frankness, and as it says there, and I might be able to give the mystery of the gospel so that people understand what it's all about. What are we here for? What are you here for?
Well, I guess to have a family and buy a house, I guess, and something and job. And,
well, wait a minute. What are we really here for?
You have to ask yourself.
You say, well, I'm here to please the Lord. Well, then there's a battle, and you're in this battle. And in this battle, he wants you to speak the truth. Well, I can't hardly get it together.
Yeah? It's prayer that'll enable you, empower you to get it together.
Me too. How are you going to get the victory? Tell me how you're going to get the victory over the devil, the world, and the flesh. How do you get the victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil? The Bible says right here, it's here, and it is prayer. That's the whole idea of this section, I believe I'm concerned about. And for the whole church, a church needs to be prayed for. I tell you, when the church doesn't have a real passion for lost souls, we need the folk to be praying. It's one thing to pray for Aunt Sue and Uncle Pete about their health and so forth, and that's good. I believe that. But I tell you one thing, do we have a passion for souls, lost souls, that they come to know Jesus Christ? Are we just playing that we meet together and have the Word of God and sing some hymns? Or are we just kind of playing the whole thing? Or do we really have a desire for people to be saved? That is the purpose of the church, that folk come to know the Lord Jesus and be part of the body of Christ. We got to get some of these things together, make sure that we understand it, and pray that we'll fit in with God's plan and God's will. He wants us, not our will, but His will be done. Well, here we are. You have the armor of God if you've been saved. You've asked the Lord to save you, been regenerated. He's given you the armor of God. He said, I'll put it on. Come on, put it on. I put it on. Now He said, I want you to be able to operate with this, and you've got to be empowered. Well, Lord, how am I going to be empowered? I can't be a little David with Saul's armor on it. I can't even operate, David said. But this is saying to operate with God's armor on, you need to pray. And the whole passage has to do with praying. And so if we have be empowered with prayer, and now he says you can enjoy victory. Victory will come and not defeat. I tell you, my heart says, let me have more. I'd like to hear more. But I want to say this. Sometimes things come a little slowly. The Apostle Paul had an infirmity in the flesh. Now the great servant of God, he could pray. And he prayed. And he prayed. And the Lord said, now Paul, listen. You just relax. I'll give you grace to bear that. Can you believe that? That he needed that. And some things you say, I don't know, understand why God doesn't do this, or why doesn't he do it? There's a reason. And sometimes it's a while before anything really comes around. Put away your instant Western ideas of affluency and peace. That's what we're concerned about, aren't we? That we be taken care of well, well taken care of. I can hear it all the time and read it all the time in the newspaper that men have good jobs and they're going to strike over. So they got good jobs and they're going to go strike for more. And people are out of work, don't have enough to even feed the family, and these people making good money, they're going to strike. Hey, something doesn't make sense to me, but we're confused. Brethren, self-centeredness is not what's being taught here. It is God-centeredness. The evangelistics aspect of verse 19. The idea of a concern for the whole church of God and especially the brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a great passage. Let's pray. Lord, we have looked at the Word. It's on the page. There it is. We can read it. We can see it. We can hear it explained in whatever capacity, expounded. So, Lord, will our hearts receive what is here? Will we meditate upon it? But will we do further than that? Will we acclimate? Will we make it part of our lives? This armor of God, this matter of empowerment of the armor of God, that we might be victorious Christians, and that with the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ might increase. Help us, we pray, in His name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.